Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. This is your host, Don Nikoloff, and we have an echo in my headphones. So, engineers, if you can kill that, appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone on the East Coast. It is February the 14th, still February the 13th on the West Coast. We have a surprise guest with us tonight. And before we bring him on, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. From 1951 through 1960, he was a special agent. From 1960 through 1965, he was a special agent supervisor in Washington, D.C. In 1965 through 1973, he was assistant special agent in charge in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1973, he was a chief inspector. From 1973 through 77, special agent in charge in Memphis, Tennessee and Dallas, Texas. And from 1977 through 1979, he was senior special agent in charge of the Los Angeles Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And after his retirement in 1979, he was a consultant for the Los Angeles Olympic Committee. He was at one point from 1981 through 1982 a special consultant appointed by Governor Jerry Brown of California. He was the California Narcotics.
Hello.
American Games in San Juan, Puerto Rico. In 1979, he was the recipient of the Alumni Highest Effort Award in the field of law enforcement from Sigma Alpha Epsilon in 1977, and he won the Law Enforcement Officer of the Year Award from the AFL-CIO Metal Trades Council in Los Angeles, that in 1977. And we welcome to Evident Footprints for the first time, hopefully one of many times, Mr. Ted Gunderson. Ted, how are you this evening?
Don, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show. And, of course, I'm Central Time, so it is Valentine's Day here.
Okay, Ted, excuse me one moment. Engineers, I cannot hear him. I know he's talking, but I can't make out what he's saying. So if you could increase the volume on his line for me, I would appreciate it.
Can you hear me now, Don?
Not yet, Ted. They're going to have to tweak some buttons here. I can hear you like you're about 100 miles away, so bear with me until we get your voice up in my headphones. Ted, there are so many things that you are involved in, and as you know, the short time we've known each other, I'm a researcher and I'm into a lot of different areas. One thing that has compelled me about your work is your efforts to stop these child abductions that are occurring at a rate of at least 100,000 a year.
More than that, Don.
And I'm talking about the pedophilia rings that are run by the government, and also I'm talking about the sex slave ring that so many women are coming out with personal stories. I know you helped Bryce Taylor. In fact, over the last week, I got to look at a couple of DVDs of the talk she gave. I think it was back in 1999 in Pasadena, California, where she came out and just related the most horrific information about how she has been under mind control her whole life, as well as the rest of her family. And she intimates who the key players are and what's going on. And I thought we might at least begin talking about that particular subject, if you would.
Oh, absolutely, Don. Well, you have to understand.
Okay, Ted, I got to ask you to pause just for a moment.
Okay.
Seth, I need to hear his voice. I'm not hearing it in my headphones. If you can do something to bring up his volume. Okay, Ted, try again.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
That's much better. Okay, thanks,
okay.
Seth.
Well, first of all, as far as the mind control program is concerned, in 1947, right after World War II, the United States government brought 900-plus German scientists out of Nazi Germany into the United States who were involved in mind control programs for Adolf Hitler, and it was called Operation Paperclip. And these 900-plus scientists were infiltrated into universities, hospitals, and various government positions. And what happened is the CIA, realizing the potential for a mind control program, continued the program. And in 1978, Congress heard about it. Of course, I'm sure they heard about it before that. But Congress investigated it, and they said to the CIA, "You nasty boys," of course, it's called the MK Ultra program. "You nasty boys, you got to quit that." So they supposedly discontinued the program, but it has continued up to this day and has a new code word known as Marathon. And I don't think too many people are aware of that. But this program is a combination of, in order to get somebody to think in your term, meaning control their thinking, you have to have a combination of torture, hypnosis, and drugs. And it takes a combination of that plus extensive sessions with your so-called therapist or your the people that are your that actually I'd have to say they're your handlers. Now, a fellow named Sidney Gottlieb was one of the grandfathers of the movement here in the United States, and also another one of the leaders was Jolly West. Jolly West was the head of the psychiatric department at UCLA. And I think I don't think there's any question about it. UCLA has been heavily involved in the past, anyway, in the mind control program. According to Bryce Taylor, they were, and I don't have any reason to think that they weren't, and they're not further involved to this day. But that basically, and if you ever saw the movie The Manchurian Candidate, you'll understand, you know, how this works. That was a movie starring Frank Sinatra. And it talked about how the communists had taken our POWs and twisted their minds. And there was a certain amount of that in the Korean War and also in the Vietnam War, I'm sure. But this basically is the background. Now, the interesting aspect about the MKUltra, now known as the Marathon Program, is that it has been one of the devices and a very important device in therapy Satanic for the satanic cults. And satanic cults are extremely active around the world, and I would estimate there's more than 4 million practicing Satanists in America, which is kind of shocking because everything they do is secret. This is one of the devices that they use. And, of course, the satanic movement primarily is multi-generation, which means a mother and father and a grandfather, grandmother, and so on and so forth were raised in this. With this type of training, this type of activity. And in fact, Bryce Taylor was herself, her family, was, she claimed, was a victim of this. And I have a book written by Bryce Taylor that's very interesting. It's called Thanks for the Memories. And she names a number of high-level U.S. government politicians and dignitaries back through the years who were used as her handlers. Now, Bryce and Kathy O'Brien, another individual who's considered a mind control victim, were both involved as presidential models. Both these women were very, very beautiful women, and they still are, I understand. But in their youth, they were strikingly beautiful, and they were used as high-level prostitutes by their own admissions to entice various dignitaries, politicians, and so forth, into sex, and then they would use that to frame them. I talked to other practicing Satanists who were used as sex attractions to people, and then set them up for homicide. And the women in the movement would pick up somebody in a bar, and as you know, a few men will go bar hopping and pick up women, and then they set them up in a motel room, and they'll be murdered, and then somebody comes in and cleans up the mess. Their masters are cleaning up their mess. You can very, very seldom do you ever find any evidence after the crime scene. But
yeah.
This basically is the MK Ultra Mind Control program in a nutshell.
Now, Ted, I read a book co-authored by Cisco Wheeler and Fritz Springmeier, where Cisco and Fritz really go into the details of how they accomplish this with these people. And this is done for the Illuminati families. They start basically at birth, and they give them, at about 18 months old, they start really treating them badly, and they cause the mind to become compartmentalized to the extent that then they give them loving, but they can always hold that let's say, a warning or a threat that might reoccur. And then at about 3 years old, they just go ape with all of this control, and they force them to do sadistic sex acts upon each other, upon other children. They witness sacrifices where maybe a child is killed in the midst of a smut film that's being filmed right in front of them. Sometimes they're required to participate in these films. They've described seeing underground bases with cages with not hundreds of people, but thousands of people in these cages. And they describe the torture and the rituals that go on. And I'm sure Bryce probably intimated some of this to you as well. What do you think we can do to stop this, to bring this to the public's attention? You know, this is covered up by the media because they also are participants as well.
Well, I don't think anybody can stop it, Don. It's gone too far. You see, the Illuminati in 1773, the Rothschild family in England commissioned a fellow, Adam Weishaupt, to come up with a plan to take over the world. And on May the 1st, 1776, Weishaupt announced the plan, which were 25 goals. And by the way, I have a book that's available through my website, tedgunderson.com, called Pawns in the Game, that explains this whole situation. And to give you an indication of the 25 goals, I won't go through all of them right now because they're very extensive. And it's very detailed in this Pawns in the Game book by William Guy Carr, former Canadian naval commander. And they, for example, there's various goals. One of the goals is to corrupt the youth through sex and drugs. I mean, nobody can deny that that hadn't happened in this country. Another one of the goals is to control the media. Well, I have a documentation. On February the 9th, 1917, Congressman Callaway from Texas stood on the congressional floor and announced that the J.P. Morgan interests had bought up 25 of America's leading newspapers and inserted their own editor in order to control the press. By the way, the survey, before they decided which on the 25 newspapers, they looked at 79 newspapers. So you have control of the mainstream media. Another one of their goals was to elect their own people, elect their own Illuminati members to offices. And if you can't elect your own people, to put your own people in as agenturs or advisors and so forth. And this is true. Actually, I've been told that they start their mind control when the child is in the womb of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they use shock treatment because the baby is, you know, alive up until the... And alive, when the baby is born, they're alive, let's face it. Their activities are just absolutely unbelievable, but I know that that this is true. And I've been exposed to this myself for some 28, 29 years. I've talked to people about it. I lecture on it. had a survivor. They call their people adult survivors. Those are the people who are raised in the Illuminati as Satanists and want to get out, and they break out, and that we call them adult survivors. And I've received correspondence from hundreds of these individuals through the last 28 years seeking help. I can't possibly help them all. I wish I could. But some of the pathetic correspondence I receive, asking, begging, pleading that somebody would help them. Another one of the techniques that they use, hang on just a minute, Don. Another one of the techniques that they use is that when a baby is born in family A and a baby is born in family B, the family B will take the baby from A, and family A will take the baby from B, and then you don't have the motherly instinct in case they decide to sacrifice. They do a lot of their own sacrificing among themselves. And that way, as you know, it's a natural bond for a mother to bond to the child. This way, there's no natural bond. That's one of the techniques that they use to break down the possible bonding and the relationship with a natural mother and her baby or child. But these people are absolutely, it's unbelievable what's happening, and it's all covered up. It's all being covered up. And, you know, I've been aware of this since I retired in 1980, actually, is when I first ran across it, when I had I was asked to investigate the Dr. Jeffrey R. McDonald case. Dr. McDonald had been tried, convicted of murdering his wife, two children, in Fort Bragg in 1970, February 17th, 1970. And in August 1979, he was, as I say, he was tried, convicted, and sentenced to three consecutive life sentences. And some of his friends came to me and said, the man's innocent, and asked me to investigate it. I began my investigation, and on October 25, 1980, I obtained a signed confession from a girl named Helena Stokely, who said that Dr. McDonald did not commit the murders. It was her satanic cult group that committed murders, and there were seven people in the house that night, and it was a Manson-type murder, and there were more than seven members in the cult, but there were only seven involved in the murder that night. But the cult was involved in distributing drugs up and down the East Coast. They were being flown in plastic bags, the body cavities of the dead GIs, to the military bases around the country. This was a joint Army-CIA operation out of the Golden Triangle. And the cult was distributing the drugs, so the higher-ups who did not approve of them going in and murdering the family knew that they had to cover this case up. And so what they did is they basically framed Dr. McDonald, and the man's serving prison even to this very day. And to show you the power that they have and the influence that they have, the DNA tests were ordered on this case in 1997. They have been conducted. They're very positive to Dr. McDonald, yet they have not been made public, and they have not had a hearing on it. In 1997, the judge, his name is Fox, James Fox, I believe, he replaced Judge Dupree, who passed away, and Dupree was the original judge. The judge said that we will examine, for DNA purposes, 15 pieces of envelopes or evidence, but when the evidence envelopes are open, only the prosecution could be present. Well, there were 15 evidence envelopes opened, and then the prosecution announced that five of the envelopes were empty. So that tells you a little bit there. Why would the judge not allow the defense to be present when they opened the evidence envelopes?
So
And the power that these people have, they have infiltrated. The cult, the satanic cults, have infiltrated every level of society, starting with the law enforcement, prosecutor's offices, city, county, state, the federal government. There's no question in my mind that our intelligence agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and by absolutely without any question, the military intelligence, have been infiltrated by the Illuminati / the satanic cult movement in this country today. Now, going back to talking about the mind control program, you had Dr. Jolly West. I told you he's UCLA, and it's been publicly announced he was involved in this mind control program. This is not a secret, folks. in his obituary, and also in the Sidney Gottlieb's obituary in the column in the New York Times, in the L.A. Times, it stated that they were involved in a government mind control program known as MKUltra. But Dr. West, for example, he interviewed Saran Saran, who was tried and convicted of shooting Bobby Kennedy. He had sessions with Timothy McVeigh, both in Oklahoma and in Colorado. He interviewed Charles Manson, and he's interviewed a number of individuals around the country. He was renownedly known as one of the leading psychiatrists. Now, I'm convinced that these people, these shooters in these, like, for example, Saran Saran, I don't think Saran Saran realizes he shot Bobby Kennedy. That's how you talk about the mind control program. They can get a signal, like, say, they call them sleepers. They take this train, they're victims of the training, and they can sit dormant for years. And then they can receive a phone call, and the caller can say green. And that's a trigger for them to go out on their assignment that's been predetermined and commit their crime. And I don't think there's any question about it that these school shootings we've had across the country are actually being orchestrated by the satanic cult mind control program that exists in our country today. And you notice that every one of them committed suicide, almost every one of them committed, in fact, I think they all did, in Arkansas, Oregon, Colorado, Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. They commit suicide. They're programmed to commit suicide after they murder their people, the number of people. And, of course, they, as I say, they're Satanists. And they think that by committing suicide that, they'll come back. They'll be reincarnated at a later date. But this is the power of this program. And like I say, this goes right back to the time of their birth. So that kind of gives you a pretty good overview, Don.
Yeah, I've noticed too. You mentioned these school shootings, and they're sort of like the cookie cutter technique. The same scenarios are playing out, including law enforcement. When they show up, they wait a couple of hours before they actually take action. I know from having talked to several people involved with the case in Colorado. That the school actually had large caches of weapons in various parts of the school. I mean, two people themselves couldn't bring all this in covertly without being found out, without being caught, even by the janitor. It was as though a team went in there, placed these weapons, and they went into action. And law enforcement waited a long time. I'm speaking about Columbine. But we had the same scenario at Virginia Tech, too. They showed the images of the police hiding behind the cars and hiding behind the trees. And, of course, they can't just rush in, but they waited an inordinate amount of time before they went in there to try to rescue the hostages.
Don, our police are equipped and trained to strike immediately.
Yes, I know that.
They are not trained to wait 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yes.
Okay? And they have the equipment to do this. They have bulletproof vests. They have bulletproof shields. And they could have rushed in there immediately and didn't. I think, what was it? Was it 4 hours in Columbine?
Something like that. Yes.
And the teacher was shot. And his life would have been spared had he had received medical treatment right away. His name was it Saunders?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Saunders.
Yes.
And now here's another common factor in the school shootings. In I think almost every instance when the authorities have gone to their homes and conducted a search of their homes, they've come up with satanic symbols and satanic writings. So, now, the school shootings, I believe, are designed in order to take away from the American people the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is it worked in reverse. And when the school shootings started taking place, and they took place across the country, you had people going out and buying more guns. So I kind of it surprised the Illuminati / Satanic cult members as is that this happened. It's surprised that it worked in reverse. Of course, they're still trying to take our guns away from us.
And, now, this isn't going on just here in the United States. I was reading, in fact, yesterday about 21 deaths in, I believe it's in Wales, of all places. Their young people are committing suicide. And this was covered in the Daily Telegraph there in London. Major story. What gets me is they're blaming this on the Internet. They're blaming this on these MySpace, Facebook-type websites where people meet friends and they post pictures and maybe they'll put a song in a player and then they have a friends list and these people blog each other. In other words, they're sending text messages to each other. They're blaming this on the Internet, but it's evident in one of the pictures where a girl who committed suicide and a young man who's with her in this picture are both giving the symbolic hand signal for the horns of Satan, you know, where they stick out the index finger and the little pinky with the other fingers curled into the palm.
Well, and the finger across the fingers that are curled into the palm, right?
Yes, and that's to mimic the horns of the devil. I've seen George Bush use this sign. I've seen Hillary Clinton use it. Laura Bush.
The Bush children have been seen. I've got pictures of them using this.
Yes. And then we have some anomalies, and I saw this. Actually, it was in your presentation, and it's worth mentioning this on the radio. When you were talking about the finders at the CIA, this is actually a government program. This is for the listeners, where they're abducting children. They actually have documentation of this in the CIA files. And, Ted, you brought this to the public's attention. What got me is the symbolism that they're using. They're using an upside-down star, which is symbolic of the horns of Satan, and they've got an image, a rather controversial image in the center of that star. But it's obviously...
The
It's the
goat horns with the goatee, and it's the symbolic goat head.
Yes. So they're worshiping Satan. It's like a tribute to Satan right there in the CIA. I mean, we can't be any more revealing than that, you would think. And we know the NSA is highly involved in this as well as they're using psychic technology to carry out these assassinations against their enemies, anyone who finds them out. For instance, they go after psychics. They go after people who are revealing the truth. And they do this on a psychic level. They can induce heart attacks, strokes. And I've heard Bryce Taylor, Arizona Wilder, Cisco Wheeler, Kathy O'Brien, all of them talk about this.
That's
so
right.
They've all been through this program.
And this Don, I need to, you speak of strokes and heart attacks. A number of the patriots are dying of strokes and heart attacks. And I figured out why and how it's happening. And, of course, this looks like they died of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was here a year ago last May. I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. I had a condominium on the fifth floor. And somebody came in and bought or rented the condominium next to me. And I don't know, immediately next to me. I don't know who it was, never saw them. And also the people across the hall, I used to see young men going in and out there like, in their 20s, you know, four and five at a time. And I started feeling funny. I'd sit at my desk, and I couldn't think, and I was definitely being gassed. And I went down, and because of my paranoia and my training, I went down and had my blood tested, and I had arsenic and cyanide in me. And then I decided I have to get out of here because whatever it is they were giving me, I think they were giving me something more than arsenic and cyanide. I think that was a side effect of it. But I did a little research and I found out that our government has various gases that have not been recognized publicly yet. And I am convinced that what they were doing to me is they were pumping gas into my condo. And by the way, they were also pumping it into my automobile. I have needle marks where they put it between the door and the door jamb. I pumped it in there, and I get in, and I smell this gas. It's a real sweet-smelling smell, by the way. And I'm convinced that what they were doing to me, this poison gas raises my blood pressure. In fact, it raised it so high that I had a friend come in at 11:30 one night. I was working, and she and her husband said, "You're sick. It looks so bad." They called the paramedics. Paramedics came, took my blood pressure, and it was out of sight. And they said, you need to get to the hospital immediately. My blood pressure one time was 242 over 119.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it's a wonder my veins didn't burst. And I have always, my whole life, been basically 120 over 70. My whole life.
Now, was this part of your pension plan, this sort of treatment? Of course, I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but that's the payment you get. I gave the listening audience your background credentials, and you would think that they would come to you for help.
No. Let me tell you what's happened, Don. And I didn't realize this when I was in the FBI. There's two elements in the government. There's the overt and the covert.
Mm-hmm.
I was a member of the overt group, and these are the guys that go out to the bank robbery and interview witnesses. What did the suspect look like? How tall was he? What did he weigh? What kind of a car did he jump in? Which direction did he go? That's the overt type. And so I had all kinds of training and all kinds of experience of this type. But the covert, I have learned since I got out of the FBI, the government has some covert operators. In fact, McVeigh is an example, Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm-hmm.
The government said that he flunked out of Special Forces. He did not flunk out of Special Forces. He wrote his sister a letter and said that he had been recruited by the CIA to become involved in their assassination program and to also become involved in the CIA drug operation. And he was an outstanding soldier. He would be a prime candidate for that. Now, these fellows that they're recruiting out of Special Forces... they train them, they're killers, first of all, before they even come out of Special Forces. And they're professional burglars. They've been in and out of my house, burglarized my house, and come in and take my files and take some of my material and walk out. They've come into my house at night when I'm sleeping. And of course, they're involved in assassinations on a regular basis. And so I have gone through all of this, and I had to leave Las Vegas overnight, and I left within 2 weeks. And I moved to a small town in Nebraska called Claytonia, Nebraska, and I don't mind telling people where I live because the government knows exactly where I am every minute of the day, to be honest with you. And Claytonia, Nebraska is a town of 296 people, and so I am reasonably safe there, but they still have been poking around. I've had surveillance on me in the little old Claytonia, and also they've come into my house in Claytonia. And that's about 35 miles south of Lincoln, Nebraska, and about 20 miles north of Beatrice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this covert, overt operation, and the people don't realize this. Now, I understand Ron Paul recently announced, and I've been saying this for 28 years, by the way, that our government is being run by a secret, quasi-military, satanic, he didn't say satanic, but I'm saying that, organization. The Satanists are running America. And, for example, in the late 1980s, I was involved in the Franklin cover-up case. And in that case, they were taking children out of orphanages, foster homes, and Boys Town and driving them to Sioux City, Iowa, 185 miles away, 184 miles, actually, placing them in private airplanes, flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies with congressmen, senators, and dignitaries. That way they can frame them, and they take pictures of them having sex with children. They can frame these congressmen and tell them how to vote. And that's why we're having all these problems. Congress is voting for all these crazy laws, like the Patriot Act. That was written under George Bush Sr.'s administration, not George Bush, our George Bush, the present one, president today. And that was written, you know, years ago. And one of the Department of Justice authors, a female Department of Justice attorney, publicly announced that before this passes, people have to be killed. Well, it took 9-1-1 to kill enough people to pass it. I don't think hardly any of our congressmen and senators read that bill. It was massive. It was long, took away many of our constitutional rights and civil liberties. There is no privacy anymore, Don. And this is all by design. This terrorist movement, very frankly, is the government's aware of it. They're part of it. They've been involved in it. The buildings at 911 were imploded. There's absolutely no question about that. Oklahoma City was a government operation. In fact, Terry Nichols, who was one of the co-conspirators convicted in Oklahoma City, has now come out and says that Larry Potts, number two man in the FBI, actually orchestrated the Oklahoma City bombing. And so that's where we are today. And whether you want to accept this or not, folks, do your own research. You can look up my website. I have the documentation on my website. It's tedgunderson.com. Tedgunderson.com. And also, if you want to educate yourself and your neighbors and your relatives and your friends, I give away free DVDs. And the website for the free DVDs is number one, dash FREE dash DVD.com.
Okay, I'm going to put a link to that.
DVD.com, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to that on my website as well, with your permission to direct people to that. Ted, we have a caller on line two. Would you like to take a call?
Of course, I'd talk to anybody.
Okay, we have, I understand it's Marianne on line two. Tell us where you're calling from, please, and whatever comment or question you have.
Good evening, Don.
Oh, Marianne, how are you?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for having Ted Gunderson on.
Ted, well, thank Ted for coming on.
Yes, Ted, thank you. I've not spoken with you, but I've heard you before with a few people, Desert Owl maybe, and a few others. But first of all, I've got a question. On this child exchange that can happen when a family's going to use that child perhaps for sacrifice, is it common that that would happen more often with the first child than a latter child?
Probably. Now, usually, I've been told that usually the first boy is oftentimes, I couldn't say usually because I don't know for sure, but I've been told that oftentimes the first boy into the family is sacrificed. And of course, the cult has, the satanic cults have their own breeders. They have women who they impregnate continuously, so there's no record of them in the hospitals, no birth records any place, and they breed these babies for sacrifices. But I can't say 100%, Marianne, but I...
Okay, and can that happen with only the knowledge of one parent, for example, the mother, without the father being aware of what's going on?
I don't know about that. I can't answer that. I don't like to say yes or no if I don't know for sure.
All right.
But I do know that I have heard of instances where one of the members of the family is involved in this and the other isn't. I mean the mother and father.
Right.
The father's involved in it. The mother is not aware of it, or it's being hidden from her, or she is threatened if she dares to come forward with it.
Perhaps that's a topic we could carry on in a future program, Don. And, Don, you brought up Fritz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler, and I'm so glad that you did. And then you ask a very important question, and you ask, what can we do? And, Ted, there's one thing that I do believe firmly. We do war, not after flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And the word clearly says that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Don, thank you for the battle that you're doing. You're in my prayers daily.
Well, thank you for that, Marianne.
Yes, and thank you, and I'll listen. Great program. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Marianne, for coming on and asking your questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And okay. Don, I can't emphasize enough. Marianne asks, what can we do? Everybody wants to know, what can we do? I've almost given up educating Congress and the Senate because, like, for example, on 911, I have a documentation that the FBI was given advance information about 911 on March the 20th, 2001. I obtained this information in 2003, the documentation, that is. I put it in a report form, and I went to Washington, D.C., out of my pocket, money from my pocket, for 3 weeks, lived in Washington, D.C., had over 150 copies of this report. By the way, it is available on my website, tedgunderson.com. And I personally talked to Lee Hamilton, co-chairman of the 911 Commission, and I passed out over 150 copies of my report to congressmen, senators. I gave it to the L.A. Times. I gave it to the New York Times and what have you. And I have not heard a word since then. I was not called as a witness for the 911 Commission. My source, who is a former CIA agent, was not called. And I identified my source to the congressmen and the senators. And they just, it's like they just ignore it. Now, I know there's a fellow named Red McDaniel.
Lost Ted there. Are we still on the air?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I lost you for a second.
Okay. There's a fellow named Red McDaniel. I haven't talked to Red in years, but he was shot down in the Vietnam War and in a naval airplane. His navigator went down with him. They parachuted out. They were POWs together, and he got out, and his navigator did not get out, and he swore he would do everything he could to rescue his navigator. Red marched the halls of Congress trying to get our POWs out of Vietnam, South Vietnam, and North Vietnam, wherever they were being held. And he was ignored, basically ignored. And we have this covert government enterprise, I call it a government criminal enterprise, is running our government today. They've infiltrated, as I said earlier, every level of society, and they are telling Congress through blackmail how to vote and how not to vote. So this is a deplorable situation. Now, what can we do? Well, I've tried. I probably made 5 or 6 trips to Washington, talked to Congress and senators. They don't do anything about it. So what I did is I set up a program to give away free DVDs, and all of the, it costs you for shipping and handling is $383, I think, a piece. You can get 10 of them for $17 and some cents, which is a $200 value. And I'm telling people to get my DVDs and pass them out to your friends, pass them out to your relatives, give them to as many people as you can. I do see a groundswell here. I do see people waking up, but I don't know if we're waking up soon enough or fast enough, but it's too bad that Congress and senators don't wake up sooner than they have. They are absolutely almost ignoring the wills and the wishes of the people. But get my free DVDs. It's one-free-dvd.com.
Yes. We've got another caller before we take this next call, Ted.
Yeah.
I just want to add that you mentioned blackmail. And this is because they've got a lot of these, what I would call sexcapades, on videotape, and they've got these people basically committing adultery on their spouses, or involved in some of these sadistic acts, and they don't want the information to get out. And I'm sure you would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yes.
Okay, we've got Gail on the phone here. Gail, where are you calling from, and what's your question or comment?
I'm calling from Tennessee. Ted, I remember you all the way back when you were with Darlene, I think her name is, Gosh, and the Johnny Gosh.
Yes, Noreen.
Noreen Gosh.
I knew it started with a T.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, I heard here, well, it's probably been in the last year, that old Larry King's back out of prison again.
Yes, he's been out for some time.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to alert the listening audience as to who Larry King is?
Larry King is the, let's say, the ringmaster of the child pedophile ring.
Correct.
Up in Lincoln, Nebraska. Which is known as the Franklin cover-up.
Right,
exactly.
Which John DeCamp wrote about and produced the movie A Conspiracy of Silence.
Right.
Based upon that.
Right.
The abduction of the boys from Boys Town, for example.
Right. Now, he was, what happened in that case is there was $40 million missing from the Franklin Savings and Loan, and Larry King was an African-American. This is not Larry King Live. And he was a personal friend of Ronnie Reagan's and some of the top politicians in Washington. And so there was publicity, and 80 children came forward after they saw pictures in the paper, his picture, and told their mother and father, that man molested me. And of the 80, four were willing to testify, and the case expanded from then on. In the meantime, he was tried and convicted not for child molestation or not as a sex pervert, but because they were never able to find $2 million of the money that was missing. They found $38 million. And, of course, John DeCamp wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and I have a copy of that. It's available on my website, folks. You need to get it and read it. It's a real eye-opener. And this, again, dovetails into the satanic movement in this country today. And the kids talked about attending satanic ceremonies and about being involved. Johnny Gosch, for example, was kidnapped by a group of these people. And one of the kidnappers was Paul Benassi. He was a child, young child, 11, 12 years old. They used him as a decoy to attract the adults, attract the children over in parks, malls, and shopping malls, and so forth, near the car where the adults would grab them, throw them in the back seat, and be off. And that's Johnny Gosch was a victim of this. And Noreen, the book, Why Johnny Can't Come Home, is also available on my website. And Noreen Gosch, what a courageous, wonderful, brave mother she is, and she has not given up to this day. And Gail, where are you from in Tennessee?
In the Smoky Mountains.
Oh, the Smoky Mountains, up near Knoxville?
Yeah, I'm right in between Nashville and Knoxville.
Okay. Well, I had two assignments in Tennessee. They were great assignments. I was assigned as a brand new young agent back in the 50s in Knoxville. Mm. And then later in the 70s, I was the agent in charge of Memphis, so...
Oh, okay.
I have many fond memories of Tennessee. I love that state.
Yeah, I do too. I want to ask you, and then I'll take that answer offline. But how late in the hour do you think we are to their whole little game called the New World Order?
Well,
all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah, you mean for them to come in with the UN troops and march down the street and arrest us?
The checkmate time, you know.
Beg your pardon?
The checkmate.
The checkmate.
It's the chess
game
they play.
Well, you know, I have no way of knowing that. Of course, the Bilderbergs meet every year, and each year when they meet, they decide what's going to happen in the year that follows that. We have the Council on Foreign Relations. They meet. They're part of the Bilderberg group. Trilateral Commission. They meet. They're part of it too. The World Bankers are involved in it.
Oh yeah.
The Bohemian Grove in Sonoma County, California.
Yes.
These people meet out there.
Yes.
And in fact, Paul Benassi, by the way, I have a 5-hour interview. You talk about mind control, Don. I have a 5-hour interview I did with Paul Benassi, and the whole 5 hours was about mind control. 5 hours on mind control. You people need to get that. It's on DVD, on my free DVDs. But he talks about being at the Bohemian Grove. And Paul Benassi talks about how he was involved in kidnapping children, helping to kidnap children for... this evil element within the government, and I'd say it's also not only in the government, but it's also the private citizens involved, of course. And he said that these kids, he attended six auctions. These children, anywhere from 2 to 21, are put on a stage with a number around their neck, and people would bid on them. And he said that the auctions he attended were in Las Vegas, outside Las Vegas, Nevada, at a field, and in Toronto, Canada. And then since then, I picked up information about auctioning children who've been auctioned off in Lincoln, Nebraska, a barn there, Michigan, and in Texas.
Wow.
And the kids were auctioned off for up to $50,000 each.
Oh, my God.
And where do these kids go? They're used for sex slaves. They're used for sacrifices. They're used for body parts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he said that the fewest children he had at one auction was six. And the most he had was 36. Now, he attended six such auctions.
Wow.
So, anyway, it's an eye-opener, and you better wake up, folks, because it's real serious.
The only thing that I can say, though, is I think that we've got them running a little scared. They're starting to have some inward fighting amongst themselves because things aren't going quite as they planned.
Yes, the trouble is they're escalating because we're escalating. We're becoming more knowledgeable and they're escalating.
Exactly.
And I had a point I was going to make, and it slipped my mind in the meantime. But, you know, this is going on in America today, so get these DVDs and spread the word. That's
It's all about educating.
About what, Gail?
It's about educating people, but so many people, this is so far out there in left field that they think this is some kind of horror film movie. It can't be real. Oh, it's real.
Well, it's hard for people to believe it because it's they're hidden. The cults are so clever. I mean, they're evil. They're evil. They're clever. They can commit a crime and you don't even know it until afterwards, and they cover up their evidence and so on and so forth.
Well, thank you very much, Ted, for having the courage to do what you do, and you too, Don.
Well, thank you for calling in, Gail, and you call in again.
And by the way, I happen to be part of that elite family. I'm one of the Doles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See you later.
Okay.
Don?
She said she's one of the Doles.
She's one of the victims, then.
Well, I'm guessing she's one of the Dole family, if that means Elizabeth and Bob Dole.
Oh.
Some relation there.
I don't know. Well, that's interesting. I've met Bob Dole. I've met a lot of dignitaries. I met Ronnie Reagan, too. And by the way, Larry King, to polish off the stuff, I know what I was going to mention, and I forgot. Larry King, the black Larry King, African-American, Franklin Savings and Loan, is out of prison, and he went in prison for the money that was missing, not for child molestation. And John DeCamp and Paul Benassi sued him and won a $1 million judgment. By default, by the way, they didn't dare to show up in the court. And John DeCamp is standing on a street corner in Lincoln, Nebraska, and a stranger walks up to him and says to him, if you ever collect that money, you won't live to spend it. So there's your documentation. We have a $1 million judgment against these people.
Well, I have that video of the Conspiracy of Silence is on my website, on my videos page. So if
you
listeners, if you go to directlightproductions.com, you can watch that video. There are some other, I've got all types of videos there. Posted. Some are YouTube, some are actual WAVE movie files right there on the site. But the movie will come up in the player automatically. All you have to do is click the play button. And you need a couple of hours to sit down and watch this. It's serious stuff. And, you know, one of the interesting things about the Franklin cover-up is the fact that the Washington Times in 1989 published a story, and you have to think back to who the president was at that time. They had the FBI and the CIA go out, but I heard it was about 3,000 agents, to sweep up all the newspapers from the news outlets and the kiosks and from people's mailboxes and front porches. And they didn't get all the copies because it's posted on various websites.
I have copies of those also.
Yes, I would presume you did. So.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Conspiracy of Silence video, Don.
Sure.
The audience. I was interviewed by those people. First of all, this is a production by Yorkshire TV in England. And they came over to the United States with a crew, and for 7 months they interviewed various individuals, produced the show, Conspiracy of Silence. It was scheduled and listed in the TV guide to be aired on May the 3rd, 1994. And at the last minute, certain members of Congress heard about it, bought up the rights, and ordered all copies destroyed. Of course, a bootleg copy was sent to John DeCamp. And so then what happened is John said that it never aired. It never aired. And, of course, it didn't air. And so John said it was listed in the TV guide. So I ordered a copy of the TV guide for that month, that day, and it came back. I received the copy that I ordered, and it was not in the TV guide for 10 o'clock on May 3rd, 1994. So then I went to the L.A. Times and Philadelphia Inquirer, checked their TV log section, and it was listed there. So somebody reprinted that whole book, the TV guide for that month, that date, so that it would not show that it was a show. And I might also mention that I sold that conspiracy silent for years until I received a letter from a group in London, England, who said, if you keep selling that, we're going to sue you. So they don't want the word out.
Yes. Now, there is a parallel to all this, and it's being orchestrated, and I'm sure you're pretty familiar with the goings-on at the Cook County, Illinois courts. They are abducting children through Child Protective Services, through the Domestic Relations Divorce Courts, and they're institutionalizing some of these kids. Some of them are being put into foster homes where they're being abused, or they're assigned a guardian ad litem. And all of this money that's being generated from the stealing of their assets is going through Maricopa County Recorder's Office. Now, I have tracked this, and I've researched it for over a year, and we know it's involving the Sucato crime family let's say, in Phoenix, Arizona, the general vicinity of Phoenix, Arizona, Maricopa County, as well as the Golub crime family, who are originally, let's say, in the United States from New York, but they own and control most of the real estate, particularly where these attorneys have their businesses. The money is being laundered using a game similar to Monopoly, where they're stealing the identities of these victims in the courts and creating phony divorces, property transfers, land, various types of deeds. War deeds is a popular one. For $10, you can own a $1 million home and never pay taxes on it. And they're sending a lot of this money into offshore accounts. The phony derivative and hedge funds on Wall Street are a big part of this corruption. And there is a plan of attack to this. We can expose this because we have the names of the judges and the attorneys and the politicians who are involved in this. And I can tell you it goes all the way to the White House. Any comment about that?
Yes, Don, I have picked up the same information on the operation out of Phoenix by the mob. The younger members of the mob, the old-time members of the mob in Phoenix, didn't want any part of it, but the young members got out of hand. And what they're doing is they're changing the names of the children up to 72 times and running them through the name through the system, because each time a child goes out to a foster home, the foster parent gets, $4,000?
Yes.
And if it's a child that needs special health care, they get $10,000. And these kids are, so they're getting $4,000 times 72 on each child by changing the name and manipulating it. There are judges, there's mobster involved in it, and my source in Phoenix hand-carried this information and documentation to Bill Clinton when he was president and took it right into the White House, and they ignored it. So there you go.
Well,
I do have confirmation of that from my source.
Yeah. Yes, and I can tell you it's the same finance companies, the same mortgage companies, the same notary publics, the same title companies, and they're using law firms in Dallas, Florida, California, Ohio, Indiana, and one of the lead judges in all of this corruption is Karen Shields, and I'm not afraid to say her name. Her father was one of the judges that Sherman Skolnick brought down in Operation Greylord.
Well, what's her last name, Shield?
Shields, with an S on the end.
Shields, S-H-I-E-L-D-S?
Yes. And
she
is being sued by one of the victims, Dr. Sheila Mannix, who is a psychologist who was trying to open a Montessori school. And her husband reneged on some of the divorce decree requirements in terms of paying for the kids' insurance and stuff like that. And when she went to the courts aid, let's say, in making him comply with the divorce decree, they went after her assets.
Right.
They just foreclosed on her house a couple of weeks ago She has lost over $400,000 fighting this in the courts. She's taught herself law, and they're threatening to incarcerate her. Several judges have died, and one with a broken neck, although it was reported in the newspapers that he had a heart attack. My take was that he had been strangled and thrown down the basement stairs, and that's where they found him, in the basement.
By the way, we talk about a heart attack and stroke. I forgot to make a point. This poison that they gave me, because it increases the blood pressure so high, will eventually cause a heart attack or stroke, and then the person dies of natural causes. So that's important for anybody out there that all of a sudden is feeling weak, has high blood pressure. Go see your doctor right away and get on the pills. And in addition to what I did, is I spent probably $2,500 over a six-month period detoxing my body with vitamins from the time I left Las Vegas till I got to Claytonia.
I lost Ted's audio there for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're still with us, Ted.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, he's coming through a little bit.
And I might also mention on child kidnapping, I have the documentation that the CIA is involved in child kidnapping, and I have made six formal complaints to the FBI and demanded an investigation, been ignored.
Well, we're going to have you on again, Ted, if you will grace us with your presence and your knowledge and your wisdom. We will take this topic up again. If I can invite you back.
Of course.
Would you come back?
I'm glad to come back, Don. And everybody go to my website, get that free DVD, one-free-dvd.com or tedgunderson.com.
Okay. Ted, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. These are not happy topics to discuss, but we have to bring this to the public's attention, and you did so recently, and I thank you for appearing at Footprints. And we will have you back again. Also,
okay.
I'd like to thank
Thanks,
all
John.
The callers. Okay, thank you. And you take care, Ted.
Right.
I'd like to thank the callers that had some nice comments and good questions. And I want to encourage others to call into the show. That's how it works. We help you. If we wake you up or if you're awake, help us wake up some more people. In the meantime, I would also like to thank Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick for working through the audio difficulties this evening. We have been under attack. We're bringing the truth out, and certain people don't want that to be heard, but we're not going to let that stop us. In the meantime, tune in tomorrow night. My special guest will be Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of radio. And he's also well-known on the Patriot Networks. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world. So tune in tomorrow night. Friday night is scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Thanks, Don.
Good night, Ted. This real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
gosh darn, boss. Got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dag nabbit, you and your BBS radio.